Well, you did it. You got to a Friday.
I did.
How about that?
I made it.
And we are here on a Friday, and it's good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
Did
as
you?
Well.
I'm sure you stayed up till the final whistle last night.
No.
Oh no.
I did not.
No. I also did not.
Oh, okay. I don't feel so bad.
I couldn't make it. But it was a 3-2 loss to Turkey.
Okay.
Yesterday. It was the final game in the group stages.
But they still advanced, though, right?
They do still advance. And the way this works is if you win your first two games of the three-game set that you'll play in the group stage, so you'll play the three other teams in your group, you win those first two games, you're in.
It's in. You're in. Yeah.
So it was a game that you had to play because it was on the schedule.
Yeah.
That's all it was. But I thought there are some things that you got to be careful about here because everybody's talking about this U.S. team as being like, whoa, hold on, could they? How far can they go? Really? You don't think they can win it the whole? No. I don't think they can win the whole thing.
Okay.
So we just enjoy the ride as it is.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what the Pistons went through in the playoffs.
Direct.
Where we had some certain expectations.
We did.
Now, we thought they were going to win an NBA championship, but could they get there? Probably.
Uh-huh.
That was what we were thinking.
Yeah.
Regardless, there are some things that I think this U.S. team should be worried about going into the next stage, which is Wednesday against Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Uh-huh.
And you start getting into these games where you can't lose. There is no other game.
And maybe, you know, yesterday they knew that they were going to advance anyway, so maybe just didn't have the accelerator down. When they play Bosnia-Herzegovina, I think it's different. They're going to be on all cylinders. All cylinders are going to be popping.
Yeah, so no worries here. Good. Everybody's good. We're moving on.
Yep.
But
it's all good.
Just... I'm a little worried, but based on what I saw last night. But again, I don't think they were playing with the urgency that they wanted.
No.
They scored early, and then they got taken over, and then tied it up, and then got the late goal late. So, no harm, no foul here.
Detroit Lions cornerback Terrion Arnold was in court yesterday in Florida following his arrest in violent kidnapping and robbery case tied to an incident back in February. Tampa Bay police say three victims were allegedly beaten, held at gunpoint, pistol whipped during a robbery involving more than $250,000 in stolen property. Investigators allege Arnold coordinated with several co-defendants after reporting the theft, then helped arrange contact with one of the victims and lured him to an apartment he had rented. Arnold was arraigned on multiple charges, including armed robbery, kidnapping, and conspiracy counts. His attorney denies the allegation, saying key claims rely on testimony from co-defendants who have entered plea agreements. The judge ordered Arnold held without bond as the case moves forward. So he'll be in jail this weekend, and then he'll be back in court on Monday for another detention hearing to see if he can get out. But he'll be spending the weekend in
jail. But at least initially he was denied that bail.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, he's denied the bail. And, so they're relying on testimony from co-defendants. These guys have pled. They're testifying against them. Listen, I'm singing. If I get a lesser charge and I know you're the guy, I'm not going to just go down.
It doesn't look great.
It does not.
Just based on the information that we have.
It does not.
Yeah. The Tigers lose yesterday as well, 2-1 at home against Houston. And it's a shame because Troy Melton had a perfect game going into the sixth inning. And that was, a really nice outing for Troy Melton. And on the other side, Tatsuya Ime struck out 10 in six scoreless innings, too. So we had a pitching battle early on in that game, and they just couldn't come out with the win. Dylan Dingler was the only breakthrough. He had his 19th home run, so just couldn't get it done with the bats. The pitching
the bats
was there last night, unfortunately.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing, man. We get the bats going.
Get the bats going. This team looks a little different.
A couple of editorials yesterday in the Detroit News. One about the Democratic gubernatorial race and, the candidates, as we know, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson. And the piece criticizes Benson's tenure in office, pointing to issues with transparency, that troubled $9 million online disclosure system rollout, and court rulings against part of our election policy changes. It also raises concerns about FOIA delays and potential conflicts of interest tied to her family's business connections. By contrast, though, Chris Swanson is described by the Detroit News as a more moderate, results-driven candidate with decades of law enforcement experience and focus on management and accountability. The editorial concludes that among the Democratic candidates, the Detroit News is endorsing Chris Swanson for the August 4th primary. Now, for the GOP primary, you have businessman Perry Johnson, former Attorney General Mike Cox, Congressman John James, all running on the Republican side. The Detroit News notes that all three candidates are focused on improving education outcomes, strengthening school accountability, and advancing policies they say would support economic growth, including tax reform and reducing regulatory barriers. John James and Mike Cox are highlighted as the strongest contenders with similar positions on education and government efficiency. The editorial concludes, though, that among the candidates on the Republican side, the Detroit News has endorsed John James as the Republican primary candidate for governor.
Interesting. So Chris Swanson and John James.
Yes.
Pick up the endorsements of the Detroit News.
That is correct.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, I thought it was as well.
I mean, maybe a little less so for John James. You know, again, I would love to talk with them over there about how that process works.
Uh-huh.
Like, are they influenced by other, you know, endorsements that have come out or things like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because John's been on a roll with those endorsements.
He really hasn't. He got the big endorsement just last week.
Right? Yeah. Interesting. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court issued a ruling on a couple of important topics, including they're allowing the federal government to move forward with ending temporary protected status for immigrants from countries including Haiti and Syria. That could put a lot of people at risk of losing their status for these TPS holders.
Mm-hmm.
Families could lose their legal work authorization. There could be deportation. There are concerns among business leaders that key industries like healthcare and construction could face labor shortages if these workers were forced to leave. Some of this stemmed from these earthquakes in different places, things
mm-hmm.
like that. But that was years ago.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that they were looking at is the T in TPS, temporary.
Oh, yeah.
It's not permanent protected status.
Yes.
It's temporary protected status. So one of the questions that they were asking was, well, how long does that last? What should be the length of that?
Yeah.
So that was one of the big decisions yesterday by the Supreme Court. They also cleared the way for the administration to enforce stricter asylum rules at the southern border, which will allow officials to turn away migrants who have not yet entered the United States. There's a long-running legal dispute over this.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not the government has the ability to limit the amount of people that are coming into the United States seeking asylum. One of the problems with these asylum seekers is many of them technically don't qualify for asylum.
Right.
But under, for example, the Biden administration, it was kind of carte blanche. People were saying, I'm seeking asylum. And then they were being let in, they were being processed, and they were being given a court date for later on.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to actually seek asylum, you have to be, not only do you have to feel fearful for your life, In your country,
yeah.
But you also have to prove that there is a danger to your life, that things are actually, like, this is a life and death situation.
Yeah.
And many of them were not, they were seeking asylum, but they didn't qualify under the asylum laws. So they tightened that up at the Supreme Court as well. But some pretty consequential decisions.
And still more to come. I mean, we still have birthright citizenship. We have transgender rights, mail-in voting, election law, campaign finance. Those are four that are still big, that are still haven't come through yet. So,
which, by the way, a birthright citizenship, I don't know. It seems to me that the Supreme Court will continue on with the rules.
With
the
rules.
Yeah, I don't see how the administration would come away with a win on that one.
That would be shocking.